Members will call the meeting of the House Transportation Finance and Policy Committee meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. You look like you're having a good time getting reacquainted. I know this is a pretty sociable group if you're like me. There's some faces we haven't seen for a while, so I'm glad you took the moment to do that. We're going to have a little more time here just to get to know each other since there are so many new members on the committee. Welcome back to the veterans that I've served with before over the past several years. I'm glad you're here. We're going to talk a little bit about policy and procedure as we go forward today and kind of what the chair's expectations are for the committee. First of all, the rule I'm most fond of is hold up your cell phones. Ike always will hear, you'll hear me say, please set phasers to stun. That's, of course, a line from Star Trek. If you would at least put them on vibrate or wiggle and turn off any clever and annoying ringtones that you have, that'd be appreciated. That goes for all of our folks in the audience, too. Sometimes, however, there is interference with the recording devices if the pages comment on that, which makes it very difficult for the people who transcribe the recorded notes of the meeting. Everything is actually reduced to writing at some point. These things, sometimes when they're doing their little search and rescue or touch message, when they're pinging the cell phone towers, interfere with recording devices. If that's the case, we're going to have to go to please turn your phones off. But I think it's okay if we at least just set them to silent or vibrate. Would you please do that for us? I would appreciate it. As far as seating, we're all big kids. We don't have to have assigned seating, except that I do have to insist that the chair sits here and the vice chair there and the lead Democrat or lead minority party member, Representative Hornstein, will sit somewhere close here, because from time to time, especially as things get busy, we get called away for bill presentations and other committees and so on, and I'll be handing the gavel off in this order that becomes necessary. So other than what you see at the head, please sit by somebody you like or tolerate or think you'd like to get to know, and please welcome that. Let's see, we have no minutes to approve, and I think that the clerk can note the roll. We will have a propensity to excuse you if you can't make it to a meeting. We would appreciate the courtesy of a call to my office or have your LA call on a bar here and say that you can't make it. If you can make it for any portion of the meeting, you will be counted present. But nonetheless, unless it gets annoying or I'm annoyed, and I'm pretty hard to annoy, we will not be issuing unexcused absences. But I would appreciate the courtesy of just letting one of us know where you are or that you aren't going to be with us today. Now, staff, is there anything else I need to cover just in the chair's rambling thoughts before we start with introductions? There will be, in fact, I believe in your packet there is a little pictorial of the members of the committee. Do you all have this? So we can at least recognize those of us. Representative Morrow, is your beard aptly represented in here? No, it's not. So if you all want to color in a beard on Morrow's picture, feel free. Oh, Representative Eakin also. I heard, by the way, that there is going to be a beard caucus this year. I'll have to ask if I can be an honorary member of that, since I have never been able to get my wife to allow me to grow a beard after 39 years. So. 39 years. Oh, yes. These are not only members-only documents. All of any interested party in the audience or general public, if you'd contact my office, you're welcome to have this as well, if you need to know what we look like and other information about us. So with that, let me start over here with Mark, the new House DFL researcher. Mark, you want to tell us a little about yourself and try to keep it under 5 minutes or so? No, just name, rank, and serial number would be sufficient, and maybe the district you represent when we get to the elected officials, but go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Mark Malander. I'll be the researcher for the DFL House Caucus. Mm-hmm. And most recently, I was a committee administrator for the state and local government operations and elections committee.
Okay.
Thank you.
Kerry Gauthier, or Gauthier, whichever is easier for you to pronounce, 7B from Duluth.
Okay.
Bobby Champion, Second term, I represent 58B, which is the southern part of North Minneapolis, the warehouse district and half of downtown Minneapolis. And I'm married and have three great children.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tim Sanders, also serving in my second term, represent House District 51A, which is located entirely inside of Blaine. New to the Transportation Committee, so looking forward to our time together and the issues presented here. And married and have two awesome little boys as well.
Thank you.
Representative Keel, I live in Crookston, Minnesota. I represent District 1B, which consists of four counties, Polk, Marshall, Red Lake, and Pennington. I am married. I am a farmer, and my husband and I have four children and nine grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Ron Szymanski, District 18A, McLeod-Meeker County. This is my third term, but first endeavor in the Transportation Committee. However, in my two previous terms, I have generally tried to attend our District 8 MnDOT meeting, so transportation issues are not new to me, but I look forward to serving on this committee. I have three grown sons. When we get them all together, I'm the smallest guy in the family. So.
I'm Kent Eakin, District 2A, and that's all of Norman County, all of Mahnomen County, most of Becker County in the southern parts of Polk and Clearwater County, up in northwest Minnesota, just south of Representative Keel's district. And I have my wife and I have four children, live on the farm where I grew up, just west of Twin Valley. And this is my first time on the committee as well, but my fifth term in the House.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Frank Hornstein, District 60B, southwest Minneapolis, and I'm also happy to serve as the DFL lead in this committee. Representative Beard and I came in together in 2002, and I think this is now we're starting our ninth year on this committee together. So we've worked well in the past, and both majority and minority roles for each of us. So look forward to working with you, Mr. Chair, this year. I have three kids, two in college, one is a 10th grader in high school, married, and the 10th grader now has surpassed me in height, which is a humbling experience when your kids are taller than you are. So, again, Mr. Chair, thank you so much, and look forward to working together.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mark Murdoch, District 10B, up north. It's half of Otter Tail County, all of Wadena County, a little bit of Becker. You can have it back if you want. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so, I love Becker County. Yeah, scratch that. Mute that button. No, anyway, my second term, first tour of duty on the Transportation Committee, so I'm looking forward to learning a lot and working with y'all. And married, two grown sons, three grandchildren. Life is good. So anyway, looking forward to this committee. Thank you.
My name is Mark Nicely. I'm starting my ninth year of employment with the House of Representatives, and I've done served in various capacities over that length of time, and I'm looking forward to serving as your committee administrator for the next 2 years.
Good, thank you. I am Mike Beard. I represent the cities of Shakopee and Prior Lake in the legislature. I'm starting my fifth term. I'm looking around at classmates, Representative Hornstein, Representative Nelson, Kent, you're Representative Eakin, sorry. we all came in together and have kind of grown up around this place in some interesting and trying times. I've been on the honor adjunct to the Transportation Committee all 8 years that I've served here in some capacity. There's kind of a joke in transportation that if it floats or flies or rolls around, Beard's probably either driven it, flown it, or owned it at some point. So I've been around the transportation business, actually operating and owning the equipment, trying to make a living at it in some small measure. So, yeah, I've been around this business for a while. I'm married. My wife is an RN, which is how I afford to be a legislator. She, through her good graces, I don't wear a beard, and I can be a legislator for a couple more terms yet. So we'll see how this plays out. Four adult children all live within striking distance because I have 10 grandchildren. Which gives me a pretty, those of you with grandkids, you know how it changes your perspective on life and on things going forward. It's a pretty wonderful development. And I'm looking forward to chairing this committee. The last 2 years I served as the Republican lead in the minority to Representative Leader, who chaired this committee. So I know how it feels to be the minority lead, and I'm looking forward to serving with Representative Hornstein as minority lead in this committee, and hopefully we're going to do some good work. And where we do disagree, we will disagree clearly, reasonably, and civilly. I'm looking forward to that. So with that, I'll turn it over to our CLA.
Hi, my name is Anna Barr. This is my first full-time position here, but I have served two sessions prior as session only, as a page and then a session only LA. So,
I'm Matt Burris with House Research, which is one of the nonpartisan departments in the House.
And I'm Corinne Zewers, and I'm with the House Fiscal Staff, also another nonpartisan office, and I also work with the Capital Investment Committee.
Hello, I'm Ernie Leidiger. I represent District 34A, which is Carver County and North Scott County. I'm married. I'm on a little farm by Mayor, and I have three children. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman. I'm Bruce Fogle, and I am from Candiota County, District 13B. I live just outside of Wilmer, and I have four children, been married for 28 years, and I have six grandchildren.
I'm Mike Benson. I represent District 30B, Southern Rochester and parts of Olmsted and Wabashaw counties. I'm an associate business professor at Crossroads College in Rochester. I have four children and four grandchildren, and my oldest daughter turned 30 today.
I'm Rich Murray. I live in Albert Lea, and I represent 27A in southern Minnesota. I have four children. I have added my 10th grandchild also last week, Thursday, and my 10 grandchildren are all girls, so that's kind of interesting around my house. I'm a financial advisor in Albert Lea, and I look forward to working with all of you here. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Mike Nelson. Like you said earlier, I came in here. This is my fifth term. Came here the same year that the chairman did. I represent the southern half of Brooklyn Park, and I've been, except for a two-year hiatus, I've been on the Transportation Committee my whole time here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Terry Morrow. I represent 23A, Nicollet County, and half of Sibley County. Teach at Gustavus Adolphus College when I'm not here. In my third term and my third term here on this committee, and I look forward to working with you.
I'm Alice Hausman. I represent a portion of St. Paul and the city of Falcon Heights. And Mr. Chair, our fiscal analyst, Ms. Zewers, since we last sat around this table, has had a baby. I hear this baby is quite smart, and we probably should request a photo of her to be passed around the table.
There you go.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm David Strom, House GOP Caucus Research. I've been around the legislature for a while, but it's the first time I've worked for the legislature, so I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Now, just a couple more housekeeping things as we're going around the table, and you let me catch up with my thoughts. There are two pages who are working with us, too, and we have quite a few freshmen on the committee, so we'll feel free to ask a veteran how things work around here, but the pages we rely on quite a bit to help things go, to make sure the mics are turned on, for instance, tape recording devices, the lights, the heat, whatnot. Particularly, though, if you need to pass notes or you need some documentation, or if you're when you get to the point where you're presenting bills to the committee, the pages will distribute stuff to the members and so on and so forth. So the pages are very important. You should learn to recognize them and know how to catch their eye if you need them to do something for you. Travis, you want to just introduce yourself to the group?
I'm Travis Moslick. I live in Shoreview and page last year. And
okay, Travis, I'm going to put you on the spot. I served with a Moslick in the House. Any relative of yours?
Yep, Scotty.
There you go. And I think a previous sergeant-at-arms is a relative of yours as well.
Yep.
Well, Travis is continuing in the family business. Welcome, Travis. I'm glad you're here. And Ron.
I'm Ron Ranallo. I've been doing this for 12 years. My wife and I started doing this, and I stuck with it. Mr. Chair, says I have a page out there. Also, I'm one of the health sergeants. Mm-hmm. So we'll be at the front door before session, sure only the right people get in. Good members. Staff can sometimes come in the front door, but otherwise. But I'm married. I'll be married 50 years this
Woo-hoo.
Year.
Woohoo!
Three grandchildren. One's at St. Thomas, struggling to make enough bucks to get through that baby. Mm-hmm. The second year. The other one, she's got a full ride scholarship to KC University, and she'll be going there next year. And the youngest one, she's a junior, and I hope to have her down here for one day because she's doing some on government. She can get some extra credit. She's a 3.99.
Ooh.
And on Wednesday, she's going to be inducted into the National Honor Roll Society.
That's
so
good.
Real proud of them, and just let us know. We'll sure help you, okay? Thank you.
Well, it's important that you know the pages. Ron, when the 50th anniversary day gets here, we will expect some sort of treats for the committee. That's one of the unwritten rules. Speaking of which, you do not have rules and procedures in your packet at the moment. I don't think you do. We didn't hand those out. I'm assuming I'm just going to take Representative Leader's rules, which seem to work quite well for the committee, and dust them off. And we'll talk about those again next Wednesday when we meet again. More about that in a moment. Just the chairman's observation, I notice those of us with grandkids tend to take a little more dwell time to talk about grandkids. Just an observation. Gustavus Adolphus, Representative Morrow, my oldest granddaughter, the tall, blonde, gorgeous one, is a student at your place helping pay your salary. You're welcome very much. It's a substantial chunk of cash coming out of the estate. But I'm glad she's there. I'm glad she's there. One last housekeeping thing. These mics work very well. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the next campaign. So if you have something to say, push this little mute button. Mine's not working, of course, but when it lights up red, your mic is dead, so you can speak freely to the person across from you, what have you. I have actually my freshman year chaired a committee that had a very annoying member. You can all speculate as who it might have been, who didn't know the meaning of the word whisper. So when he would sit off to the side and have a sidebar with someone, it was very disruptive and disrespectful to the rest of the committee. If you want to whisper and have sidebars, feel free. I just don't want to hear it up here, nor do we need it interrupting the testifiers who have come a long ways in many cases to be here to talk to us. So let's be respectful of them. If you need to take a call, please say, wait a minute, and beat it out the door. Please don't sit here at the table and talk on your cell phones. And remember, we all set our phasers to stun, didn't we? We're doing well. This is going to be just fine. Let's move then to the presentation of our forecast for transportation money. You know, we get a forecast, and we got some friends from MnDOT. Pam, Toshida, are you in the... There you are. Thank you. Well, you're approaching. Let me just set this up a moment. Warren Skallman, are you going to come at the same time, Warren? Thank you. We get our forecast of funds for the general fund, of course, in November. The November forecast, which always comes out in December. The February forecast always comes out in March. I don't know why that is, but that's what we call them. We also, at the same time, get updates to the funds that we have to spend through this committee that we're responsible for transportation and for transit. So with that, members, I'm going to turn the direction to our good friends from MnDOT. If for the recording you would identify yourself when you begin your testimony, I'd appreciate it, and we'll follow along with you in what's the information provided in our packet. Ms. Toshida?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and representatives. My name is Pam Cheetah. I am the acting chief financial officer for MnDOT. I'm only acting for a short period of time. Commissioner Sorrell, when he was reappointed, asked me to serve in this interim role while we find a new permanent chief financial officer. Previous to this job, I was a division director, which I had oversaw the human resources, IT, and administration functions, which closely aligned with the financials of the agency. I've only been in this role a short time, so I have asked Warren Skallman, our budget director, to present all the materials to you. So we'll move forward with Warren.
As you move ahead with that, let me just one more housekeeping thing. How long do you think your presentation is going to be? And do you mind if I interrupt you if there are questions as we're moving through on the fly?
That would be fine.
All right, members, if you have questions, please catch the attention of our CLA, and I'll be calling on you, okay?
All right.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Warren Spallman. I am the budget director at MnDOT. Today, we're going to provide an overview of the fund structure used at the department, and we'll also discuss the November forecast for the six MnDOT funds, and we'll also talk about a couple of the key financial policies that the department uses for managing its financial resources. Please note that we will be doing a MnDOT budget overview to this committee at a later point.
Okay.
So we would like to provide a little bit of a background for the funding for the department. As you know, in general, state government agencies are funded through actual funds. MnDOT receives its funding from a variety of funds, many of which are constitutionally dedicated. Only approximately 1% of the funding to the department comes from the general fund, so most of our funding is dedicated. The six funds that are listed here are the primary funds that MnDOT operates out of and for which we prepare a forecast. We prepare a forecast twice a year in November and again in February, but we will also update due to new laws at the end of session if there are any. For MnDOT, our funding begins here with the Highway Users Tax Distribution Fund, or the HUTD Fund, as it's sometimes called. This fund, all of the funds actually on this page, are again constitutionally dedicated to be used for highway-related purposes. The Highway Users Tax Fund is funded by highway users taxes. The largest significant tax for the HUTD fund is the tax on gasoline and special fuels, which is a major source of revenues for the highways. And the current rate is 27.5 cents per gallon. Tab fees are often called the vehicle registration tax, as a tax assessed on passenger vehicles as well as trucks. And the third significant resource into the highway users tax is the motor vehicle sales tax.
Mr. Spallman,
yes.
I'm assuming the numbers on page four here are from the numbers that have come from the November forecast, correct?
Mr. Chair, the numbers on here are our actual numbers as of the close of fiscal year 10.
Okay. Then that answers the question that the vehicle sales tax, which is being staged, moving over from the general fund in stages, this is what we actually got from the share of it this year.
Correct.
Thank you.
So for the motor vehicle sales tax, 60% of that tax revenue comes into the Highway Users Tax Distribution Fund beginning in FY12, and then 40% of that goes into the Transit Assistance Fund. Down at the bottom of the chart, it indicates how the revenues flow to the three highway funds. The 62% of the revenue goes to the Trunk Highway Fund. Another 29% goes to the County State Aid Highway Fund. And 9% goes to the Municipal State Aid Street Fund. Slide on page 5 summarizes the Trunk Highway funding sources. Again, these are fiscal year 2010 actual numbers as of close. As you can see, the highway users tax is the most significant revenue source into the Trunk Highway Fund. Another significant source is the federal revenue that we receive primarily from the Federal Highway Administration. Federal revenue is kind of on an uncertain path at this point. There currently is no federal bill, and the Federal Highway Trust Fund revenues have not been sufficient to support the federal programs in the last few years. Other revenues into the Trunk Highway Fund are predominantly receipts received from cities and counties on related road construction activity that we're outperforming. There's also some investment income and some miscellaneous departmental earnings that make up our other income. Another significant funding source to the department is trunk highway bonding. This is relatively new for the agency since 2008. This funding provides, again, funding primarily for highway and bridge construction. The bonds that have been issued, of course, need to be repaid. They're paid out of the trunk highway fund, for which payments are made for interest and principal. Since 2008, the legislature has authorized approximately $1.9 billion in trunk highway bonds. Slide 6 shows the sources of funds into our state aid funds. The majority of the revenue is the highway users tax distribution revenue that we've been talking about. And then there's some investment income related to that. These funds are provided to cities and counties primarily for construction and maintenance of their streets and highways. There's one source that we didn't get on this chart, and that's the federal revenue that also is passed through our agency that we receive from the Federal Highway Administration. So that goes through us down to the cities and counties as well.
Representative Hausman.
Over and above the 472 on the previous page?
Yes. Yes. Chair and Representative, the 472 is strictly the revenue that's gone into the trunk highway fund. There's additional revenue that comes from the same FHWA, but it's passed through money to the cities and counties.
Good question, Representative Hausman. Mr. Skolman, would that be considered what we come to know as earmark money, or is there other ways that money gets to a county or a city without coming through?
Most of the money is the regular formula money, just like the money that flows into a trunk highway. Okay. It's for projects specifically benefiting the cities and counties.
Okay, thank you.
On page 7, we're indicating the sources of funds for transit purposes. The transit programs at MnDOT receive the majority of the general funds that the department does receive, so almost all of our general funds are funneled through the transit programs. These funds provide Greater Minnesota Transit assistance.
Mr. Skolman, and for the purposes of the members of the committee and even my own edification, these are general fund dollars. Members, when it comes to the $6 billion deficit we'll be dealing with as a larger legislature, in my estimation, these are the funds that will be at risk or subject to the budget pressures that we're going to be dealing with, because these are the general fund dollars. The other funds that Mr. Skolman has described are constitutionally dedicated funds, with the small exception perhaps of the airport fund, which is another discussion. So I just want you to be aware of what we're dealing with in this committee. But my question is, the federal revenue that comes through MnDOT for Greater Minnesota Transit, is that money relatively protected from the ravages of the deficit, Mr. Spellman, in your opinion?
Mr. Chair, I would have to do some research on that. I'm not certain of how safe those particular federal revenues are.
Thank you. Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Chairman Beard. And I think my question follows up on yours. Yeah. I want to be very clear about the part that's part of the general fund, not the entire $107.8 million. And then maybe in that report that you're asking for, could we delineate exactly which dollars are pure general fund and then therefore subject to potential cut?
Sure. Thank you. Going forward, members, we'll make sure that that's very clear to us before we vote on anything that we have to do to do our part with the budget fix. Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before we leave the transit slide, I could do a quick back of the napkin based on your previous testimony on road funding, but do you have just a rough percentage overall, not just the general fund, but putting together all funds? How much percentage of MnDOT resources are spent on transit and how much on highways?
Mr. Chair and
Mr. Coleman,
committee member, I would have to do a calculation separately. I don't have that information right with me.
Okay. But perhaps as we move forward,
we can certainly do that.
Have that at a future meeting when we delve into this a little deeper. And Representative Hornstein and members, this does not include any of the transit dollars that Met Council deals with, which we'll have another discussion about another time. This is the MnDOT portion of the transit fund, largely for Greater Minnesota. But good point, good question. Anyone else before I ask Mr. Skolman to proceed?
All right, Mr. Chair. Another significant source for transit is the constitutionally dedicated MVEST that goes into the Transit Assistance Fund, which in fiscal year 12, going on beyond that, it will be 40%.
Okay.
And as you pointed out, Mr. Chair, the amount here for transit is just that for the money that comes to MnDOT for Greater Minnesota Transit Assistance. It does not include anything that goes to the Met Council. Okay. On slide 8, we indicate the main sources that come into the airport's fund. Again, these are FY10 numbers. The major sources into the fund are the air flight property tax, the aircraft registration tax, and the fuel tax on aviation fuels. The revenues in this fund, again, are providing airport construction and maintenance funds to airports throughout the state.
And once again, members, if I can interject, Mr. Skolman, these are user fees that are levied on aircraft and aircraft property. They accrue entirely to the MnDOT Department of Aeronautics. This figure does not include the Metropolitan Airport Commission, which is a separate entity that will have visit us sometime in the future and tell us about their work. But this money is goes to the 136 public use airports spread around the state. Thank you. Go ahead.
On slide 9, we're indicating the other sources that fund the aeronautics programs. Besides the state airports fund, a significant federal revenue is received from the Federal Aviation Administration, as well as some miscellaneous revenue. Again, they all contribute towards the construction and maintenance for airports throughout the state. So that's a little bit of the recap of our funding. We're going to move on to the November forecast now. So slide 11 graphically shows the change in the highway highway users tax revenue forecast from the prior forecast. And overall for fiscal years 12 and 13, factoring in all of the revenue, we have a slight decrease in 12 and 13 from the prior forecast. There is, however, a slight increase going in the planning years beyond 2013. So there is eventually a turnaround. On slide 12, we're talking specifically about the forecast for the gas tax. So overall gas tax for the upcoming biennium, the revenue is up 13.0. The forecast assumes slightly higher compensation consumption than the prior forecast. We used information from Global Insights, the state's state forecast consultant, as well as information from the Energy Information Administration. When forecasting gas, the outlook can be affected by a number of factors, including the economy, world oil prices, long-term policy trends, and consumer trends, and they can have offsetting effects. The gas tax revenues include a half a cent tax increase, and those will be the final two increases in fiscal years 11 and 12, and then we will have reached the top rate that has been approved.
Okay.
Slide 13 shows the information from the Global Insight forecast, again indicating a slight increase in November from the prior year, or the prior forecast. Slide 14 provides you with a history of the rate for motor fuel taxation in the state, with again the final increase coming in July 1, 2012.
Members, just to fill in a little bit, you're going forward here too. We will be receiving a presentation from MnDOT on their debt service recommendations. They actually developed a policy very similar to what we've done for the capital improvement, capital bonding on the statewide level. There's actually guidelines that MnDOT has pretty much finalized, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Skolman.
Yes.
And we're going to ask you for a presentation on that. And the last couple of half-cent increases are to service the debt that we've agreed to here for a couple years ago on the veto override bill, 152, I think we call it. That's what those are about. We'll be hearing more about that, so if you've got questions on that, be thinking about it, and we can ask those at that time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On slide 15, we're graphically showing the revenues, the actual revenues for the gas tax forecast, and again showing the small increase compared to the prior forecast and including those last increases in 12 and 13. On slide 16, we're discussing the registration tax and the motor vehicle sales tax revenues. For the upcoming biennium, the registration taxes are down $23.5 million, or roughly 22% from the previous forecast. And the most significant decline is in the motor vehicle sales tax, which is down $54.3 million from the previous forecast, as forecasted by MMB.
Okay.
Again, new car sales forecast and a slower economic growth are factors into those declines. Slide 17 just shows you the unit sales of new light vehicles, with the November forecast being down from the previous forecast. Slide 18 shows the actual dollar amount for the registration tax for fiscal years 12 and 13. With a gradual increase coming in after in the planning years. The motor vehicle sales tax on slide 19 shows the large decrease. And again, keeping in mind that 60% of the MBES goes to highway users tax and 40% goes to the transit assistance starting in FY12. On slide 20, the trunk highway fund is projected now. First, I just wanted to note that we're doing a comparison between November and the end of session, as we had some changes that we had to reflect. Okay. So we're comparing to the end of session here. So in FY11, our projected fund balance is $121 million, and in FY13, the fund balance is projected at $190 million. In comparing that to the end of session, that's a decrease of approximately $17 million through fiscal year 2013. And the primary reason for that decrease is lower state, federal, and other revenue, which were offset by decreases in our debt service costs, which we'll be talking about shortly.
Jim.
So one of the positive bright spots in the November forecast is the change in our trunk highway debt service costs. Early in fiscal year 11, with MMB, we were able to refinance our debt, and it provided lower rates for that debt. Plus, our forecast reflects lower interest rates for any projected sales that we would have in fiscal years 11 through 13.
Mr. Skolman, remind the committee, when we sell trunk highway bonds or refinance, what's usually the length of term on those, 15 or 20?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I believe it is 20 years.
20? Okay.
Slide 22 graphically shows the decrease in our debt service transfers. So beginning in 2011, the chart shows that our bond debt service costs will transfer over will be down $49 million in FY11 and an additional $67 million in fiscal years 12 and 13.
Okay.
On slide 23, we're indicating the comparison of November to end of session.
Busted. Ann will be bringing brownies for the next committee meeting. Be sure you tell her that, Todd, would you? Okay, Mr. Skolman, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the state revenues are down correspondingly for the county state aid highway and the municipal state aid street funds. In the numbers noted there, $20 million for CASA and $4 million in the municipal state aid street. The portion of the MVEST leased vehicle sales tax with this forecast is now allocated as forecasted to be zero until FY14. In the previous forecast, that was done by the Department of Revenue. They had some forecasts for the earlier years that the revenue just did not generate what they were anticipating.
Okay.
Slide 24 indicates the change from end of session for the airports fund. We had a slight revenue increase from the prior forecast for fuel tax growth, but that was offset by some declines in our investment income. So the fund balance for fiscal year 11 is projected to be $2.2 million, and through 2013 we're projecting a $4.0 million main fund balance.
Mr. Skolman, before you proceed, I notice I just want to be sure we're clear on this thing because this is an educational meeting. Back on slide 23, I'm sorry I was caught off by the interruption, but remind us of the leased vehicle sales tax, where we put that. Did we dedicate a portion of that to the county roads?
Yes.
The county state aid formula?
50% of it comes into the county state aid highway.
But I thought I remembered in the conference committee that we moved some of that money to transit to help fill a hole. Does that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The other revenue from the leased vehicle sales tax does go into the transit assistance fund.
Okay.
So that fund also has an impact on the revised forecast for the lease sales.
It was a late night and numbers are flying fast and furious. Representative Morrow, can you shed some light on that?
Well, Mr. Chair, and I may be wrong, but I believe on slide 25 we may be getting to the second half of that.
Thank you for saving me. I appreciate it. Mr. Skolman, go ahead. If I'm ever getting ahead of you on this testifier, just tell me. Hold on, we're getting there. So feel free to do that.
Thank you. So for transit assistance, the motor vehicle sales tax state revenue is down $36.2 million from the prior forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the related motor vehicle sales tax for leased vehicle sales tax is also down. So overall, for Greater Minnesota Transit portion of the fund, total resources are down $19 million from the prior forecast, with the remainder of that revenue being managed by the Metropolitan Council.
Okay, more on that later then, when we have Met Council here.
So that's the information that I had on the forecast for November. The last piece that we wanted to discuss with you is MnDOT operates under a number of financial policies,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of the key ones that you mentioned earlier, Mr. Chair, is the debt service policy for the Trunk Highway Fund. We've been operating under this policy for a couple of years, but we finally formalized it at the beginning of this fiscal year. And basically it states that our debt should not exceed 20% of the annual state revenues that come into the Trunk Highway Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Another key policy that we use to manage our resources is an estimate of what our fund balance should be maintained as far as having an unreserved fund balance for contingencies, etc. And that policy states that 6% of the projected state revenues into the fund plus 2% of any authorized but unissued debt should be combined together to get the amount that we should keep as a reserve.
And Mr. Skolma, I'm noticing, looking back here, the fund balance runs $121 million this year. That is about, is that within the guidelines that we're aiming at?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Our calculation says that under this policy for fiscal year 2011, we should have approximately $93 million.
Okay. We exceeded a little bit, but by a reasonable amount then. Okay.
And finishing up, you know, we will get back to you, Mr. Chair and committee members, with the questions that you had that we were unable to answer. Mm-hmm. We've got our contact information. Feel free to call us anytime. And we do have copies of the policy that NDOT has issued if anyone is interested.
Further questions, comments? Mr. Coleman, I assume, Mr. Sheeta, does this conclude your presentation, or do you want to talk through the appendix with us at all, or is this just FYI for our information?
Mr. Chair, it is just FYI information for you.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you. If you'd be happy to sit still for a couple minutes, we have a few questions or comments. Representative Leidinger.
Mr. Chairman, I may have missed it in the presentation. How much debt are we servicing?
Mr. Skolman, can you point to the slide again and remind
sure.
us where we're at?
If you turn to page 22.
Mm-hmm.
So for 2011, based on our forecast, the debt cost for 2011 will be $46 million. And in FY12, our debt cost will be $100 million plus. And in fiscal year 13, our debt cost will be $137 million.
Now, as I understand, that is the annual debt service payment. How much debt are we carrying that we're servicing with that number? Do you have that at your fingertips?
Mr. Chair, I do not have it with me. I can certainly get that information to you.
Would you please, Mr. Representative Leidinger? Maybe follow on or anything?
I would like to know that number.
So. It would be a good number for us to know. And then as well, they may be providing to them as we speak. The number that we're servicing, does that include the bridge account as well? And anything that comes through the you know, every once in a while in the regular state bonding bill, we have money set aside for local roads and bridges and so on. Is that considered serviced from here as well, Mr. Skolman?
Mr. Chair and committee members, this would reflect just that revenue that came into the Trunk Highway Fund for Trunk Highway purposes only.
Trunk Highway purposes only. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm hopeful somebody slipped you some information. Is that a rough approximation of where we're at?
So the total authorizations from the legislature, Mr. Chair and committee members, is approximately $2.5 billion for all debt over all years. And from these authorizations, currently in our budget document, we have $938 million is the amount that has been issued.
We've authorized 2.5, but we've only issued about a billion of it, or $900 million so far.
Mm-hmm.
So there's other projects that have been authorized that haven't been bonded yet then?
That is correct.
In the pipeline? Okay.
Mr. Chair and committee members, my understanding is almost all of that has been assigned to projects, mm-hmm. but for cash flow purposes, we have not had to sell the bonds yet.
Prudent move. Thank you. Representative Leidinger, that gets to your question?
That pretty much answers the question. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Well, before we turn these good folks loose, anyone else, any questions, comments? There's no bill in front of us, so I'm reluctant to ask the audience if anyone else has anything further to add. So, seeing nobody beating a path down here with anything urgent, thank you for your presentation. And if you'd stick around for a few minutes, maybe for private questions or so, and that'd be great. Members, we're not meeting, what's today, Monday? We aren't meeting on Wednesday. We expect to see everyone for lunch at the Humphrey Institute. Following Monday is a holiday, so maybe Wednesday a week, which would be the 19th, we will be meeting the basement. Oh, yes, one other thing to point out. We have two different rooms. We meet here on Mondays. We meet down in the basement on Wednesdays. So if you'd kind of carry that thought, too, if you wander in here next Wednesday and it looks like Health and Human Services or Education Reform or something. Oh, that's the one. It's an Education Committee. Feel free to come on down to the Basement Committee and join, or Basement Hearing Room and join us. And we'll have some more educational overviews. We're not supposed to use the word overview, I guess, but we'll have some sort of a discussion about how things work, particularly to refresh the veterans' memories and bring the new folks up to speed on what it is we're dealing with here. We'll notify your LAs here within the next couple days of just exactly what's on the agenda. Any other comments from the committee members, staff? Hearing none, we will declare ourselves adjourned. We'll see you next Wednesday.